Good morning and welcome to worship today. Hopefully you can manage to focus somewhat on what I'm saying with God's gift of kids right in front of us. This is our second Sunday after Pentecost, and the season of Pentecost is the time where we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born for us in Bethlehem, that he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. God sent the Holy Spirit and promises to bless us as we grow in his word. So this season of Pentecost, we trust that God will indeed do that for us, bless us as we gather around his word. This was also our week of Vacation Bible School here at St. Mark's, and we had the wonderful opportunity to share the love of Jesus with so many kids and with so many families. We praise and thank God for that. So the kids are going to share a little bit of their week with us. The first song, although it sounds very simple, is actually very profound and very significant to all of us, that Jesus will help us no matter what. There's nothing that is stronger than he. There's nothing that he cannot help us with. And then the second song takes us to the basics of our faith, the fact that Jesus died for our sins and rose again as our Savior. So we praise God for the chance to hear the word of God through the lips of the children this morning.
Thank you.
This morning we have a lot to be thankful for, not only for these children sharing the love of Jesus with us and the good news of our salvation, that because Jesus died and rose from the dead that we are saved. We also get to thank God for keeping his promise to send leaders to his church. And so it is our joy to install the new officers of our coordinating council and our vision coordinator. So I invite those officers to come forward at this time. Dear friends in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death and made you members of his body that is the church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. You have now been selected for positions of service to our Lord on behalf of this congregation. The Lord has entrusted you with an office which you are to carry out as his servants according to his word. St. Paul wrote, regarding service in Christ's kingdom, we have different gifts, each according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is encouraging, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve him. As the scripture says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given us to do. But when he does give a gift, it is his will that we use it faithfully to his glory and for the benefit of his people. You are also, as servants of Jesus Christ and workers in this congregation, to set for your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the Word of God your foundation and guide. Search it daily for comfort and for instruction. So that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the office entrusted to you, according to the ability which God gives you? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will. God will.
I now install you as officers of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Paul Baker, Board of Elders. Bill Cummings, President. Bill Heyman, Secretary. Chad Steiner, Board of Outreach. Bill Haffill, Board of Stewardship. Donna Williamson, Vision Coordinator. David Hahn, Treasurer. Gary Gent, Financial Secretary. And Tim Williamson, Board of Worship. Dear members of St. Mark's, I urge you to regard these fellow believers as servants of Jesus Christ and God's gift to his church. Pray for them, support them in their service, and help them so that through the gospel ministry of this congregation, more people will be reached for Christ and won for his kingdom. To that end, let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, our lives are open before you, and you hear our promises. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your servants, that they may carry out their duties with diligence, boldness, and wisdom. Give them a spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need, they may present their requests to you. Help them be examples of what is good, that by their lives they may build up your congregation, and give the enemies of the church no cause for complaint. Make them a blessing to your believers. Help them to work with their pastors and with one another
And grant that by their service, the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, your name be hallowed, your kingdom be enlarged, and your will be done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, and give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labors in the Lord are not in vain. The Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and preserve you. Go in the peace of the Lord. Amen. Also, to those who have served us in the past, whose terms are up or are not continuing in their offices, in the name of the congregation, we sincerely thank those members who in the past year have served the Lord and His church in positions of leadership. May the Lord our God graciously renew them for all they have done to His glory and for the benefit of His church. We sincerely thank you individuals as wonderful gifts from God and appreciate your time. The order of worship that we will use this morning is Divine Service 1. It's printed completely for you in your worship folder. And we open by singing together our opening hymn this morning, that is hymn 376. Let us worship our God. We come before our God using Divine Service 1, which begins on page 4 in your worship folders. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
At this point in the service, we give our attention to the Word of God. The three lessons for this morning are printed starting on page 7 in your worship folder. As I mentioned earlier, we are now in the season of Pentecost, when we look to God to do what He says, that is to strengthen our faith and bring us closer to Him as we gather around His Word and as we study His Word. The first lesson for this day is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here the Lord encourages His people to take His Word seriously. There were a lot of other alternatives for them. There were a lot of options even in their day, just as today. But the Lord says, stay close to Me by remembering My words. Fix these words of Mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 78. It's an encouragement to us all and a reminder to stay close to God by being faithful to His word. The second lesson reminds us of the promises and comfort that we find in God's word. God promises you that forgiveness and eternal life with God, those are on His shoulders to share with you. It is not up to us to be good enough to make God love us enough to take us to heaven. But we have the promise of heaven because Jesus died for our sins. And as a result, God declares us His children and promises us forever with Him in heaven. We have these words of encouragement in the second lesson from Romans chapter 3. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Alleluia. Please stand for the reading of the gospel this morning. The holy gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7. In this reading, the Savior reminds us that if we want to grow in His Word, we need to be certain that what we are hearing is the Word of God. And when we find the Word of God, that we hold on to it and make it our foundation in our relationship with our God. The Savior said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us encourage one another by confessing the Christian faith the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts. This morning we use the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day, number 377, the first six verses. Please be seated for that hymn.
Thank you.
I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And that is where we have the privilege of being today, and we praise and thank God for that. My message to you this morning is based on the first lesson for today from Deuteronomy chapter 11. The lesson is printed in your worship folder on page 7 if you'd like to follow along when we make reference to it. The one that he produced was called, "Do You?" And it's not a question, it's a statement. His statement is, "Do You?" The title of his book, and then the title goes on, 12 Laws to Access the Power in You to Achieve Happiness and Success. The author's name is Russell Simmons. He's a former hip-hop artist turned gazillionaire, turned fashion guy, turned activist, turned self-help promoter. Here's a little bit about what he says in his book. It's a quote, "The book is about getting something back from the universe, what you put in it. It's about the karmic laws that are unbreakable. It's that do good, be good, search out for good, and then live good so that good will come back to you." And what he did was he searched here and he searched there and he took a little bit of everything and mashed it all together and said, these are the 12 steps to a better you so that you can do you. And I think that's the biggest problem with that philosophy, is that from beginning to end, it's all about you. It's completely different from what God has to say to us today. Because God says there's a lot out there, but these are my words. Different from every other book, different from every other philosophy, from every other way of looking at life, God says these are my words. And because these are God's words, they are true. And that's what makes them different from everything else. So to help us take a look at God's word and how God's word can help us, we're going to take a look at God's word with these three ways of looking at it. First, God says, these words are mine. They are words of unattainable blessings. They are words of unescapable curses. But they are also words of unbelievable promise. The first lesson for this morning, they are words of encouragement to Moses, from Moses to people who are about to inherit the promised land. Moses said, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his law, and his commands always, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land." God told them, "Here's how I want you to live. Here's where I want you to live. Here's how I want you to worship. Here is whom I want you to worship, and here's why I want you to worship in these ways." God was very clear. He said, "If you do these things, I am going to bless you." That was the gist of the old covenant he made with them. It was filled with if this, then that. It was do these things so that these good things happen. Don't do these things so that these bad things don't happen. And I heard an estimate that at this point in the history, after God brought them out of Egypt, after they wandered in the wilderness, they were about 2 million people. And what do you think the chances are of 2 million people keeping God's laws perfectly all the time? Yeah, right. There's no way that that's going to happen. And out of those 2 million, what are the chances of just one person keeping all of God's laws perfectly? That's not going to happen. And so there are these awesome blessings. God says, "I am going to bless you. I am going to share these things with you." But the people simply can't get them on their own. They're unattainable blessings. And that's how it is with us too. God says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 5. And we've talked about that a couple weeks in a row now, that if you are a perfect person, and if you grow up and you get married and you have a perfect family and you raise perfect kids, you're always going to be happy.
You are never going to experience sin. You are never going to experience guilt. Your kids are never going to get sick. You are never going to get sick. There's never going to be stress in your house. And you are going to go to heaven because you're perfect. The only problem with that is it's not going to happen. Jesus said in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Always perfectly love God and do what he says. Always perfectly love your neighbor. And always perfectly enjoy living this way. And you will have these blessings from God. The only problem is they are unattainable blessings. Because who's perfect? Who can love God perfectly? Who can live a perfect life? Who can love their neighbor perfectly? And because these are unattainable blessings, God is very upfront. He says there's also an unavoidable curse that comes with them. Moses given the people some instructions. "Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers." God says, as you go in, I'm going to give you this land. He says, but listen to me, follow my rules, do what I say. And so God gave them the land, but here's what happened. "Be careful," God said, "or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will not yield, will yield no produce. And soon you will perish." And can you recall from Bible history what happened? Almost immediately after God crossed them over the Jordan River and started kicking the people out of the land and giving God's people the lands, do you remember what happened? But Manasseh, one of the tribes, did not drive out the people. When Israel became strong, they pressed the Canaanites into forced labor, but never drove them out completely. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Neither did Zebulun drive out the Canaanites. Nor did Asher. Neither did Naphtali. And looking back, we think, what bunch of fools, right? Why didn't they do what God said? And now that we're done feeling better than them, holier than them, closer to God than they are, can you think of maybe why they did that? Maybe it's been a long, hard trip from Egypt. It was a long wander in the wilderness. They've been listening to these promises, and now they just want to live, right? They just want to live and enjoy the land. Or maybe they got to know some of these people, and hey, these are nice people. Or maybe they didn't listen to God, and they started listening to the religion that they were teaching. And they thought, hey, we have some common ground with these people. Maybe we can just meet them in the middle and we can all live in the land and we can all be happy. Maybe they just got sick. Maybe they just got tired. It's too hard doing everything God tells us to do. They couldn't be perfect. They weren't perfect. And so they were under this unavoidable curse because they didn't do what God told them to. And God has similar warnings for us too. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." And can we really avoid that? I mean, honestly, seriously? Are we perfect? Or do we sympathize with these people? And do we say, hey, they have a good point? Or do we like to latch on board with the people who said, well, just, you know, emphasize the positive. Because you're good people. You do a lot of good things for God. Let's just talk about the good things that we do. Because if we start talking about sin and we start talking about guilt and we start talking about the negatives in our lives, then we'll feel badly. And that will ruin our self-esteem. And do we go on board with that? Well, can't we just, you know, get along with everyone and emphasize what we have in common? And you know what? I'd jump right on board with that too. I would, you know, like we said last week, I would tell all the good things that you've done. And I would say, yes, let's not focus on our weaknesses. Let's not focus on our failures. And let's just tell God, here's the great things we've done for him. But that wouldn't get you right with God. That wouldn't get you close to God. That would bring no peace into your relationship with God. And we could go out and we could search the philosophies that are out there. And we could jump on board with Mr. Simmons and we could do his 12 steps to a better you. And I would guarantee you, your life would probably be better. But you would be no closer to God. Because let's talk about the good things. Let's not talk about the bad. Let's find some common ground. Let's tell God why he should cut us some slack. That all falls short. Very clearly, there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what if I, as your pastor, would tell you, yeah, let's forget about what God says and let's feel good about ourselves and build ourselves up on the good things. Did you catch what Jesus says about that? Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So let's recap what God has said to us today. He says, yes, I have blessings for you, but you can't reach them on your own. He says, because you can't reach these blessings on your own, you are under a curse. And so why bother? Right? If God has such harsh things to say to us, why are we even bothering with church today? Because God also shares with us an unbelievable solution to this problem. It's an unbelievable promise, a promise that he first shared with his Old Testament people. God promised through Moses, I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God says, yes, there is sin in the world. Yes, you are not perfect people. There's never going to be a perfect person. But I love you anyway. I forgive you anyway. Because God made a promise. It wasn't just a promised land because God said, yeah, I'm going to give you a nice plot of land. And if you're good, I'll make it rain. And I'll give you some sacrifices to keep you busy and have a good time. This was the promised land through which God brought a promise into their lives. And it was their Savior, Jesus, who would live perfectly for them and would die for their sins. And that's the same unbelievable solution that God shares with you and that God shares with me. From the second lesson from Romans 3, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. And that is so important to remember because it's not like Paul came up with something new. And he says, yeah, God is really angry about our sin. What are we going to do? Paul said, we're going to look to the same place that Abraham looked for comfort. Jesus is coming. And through Jesus, God is going to forgive us. So Paul directs us there again. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. And that gets you somewhere with God. Me standing up here and telling you a bunch of lies and saying you can feel good about yourself because you're going to do you, right, with Russell Simmons and everything is going to be fine because we're thinking good thoughts. But what about when you feel guilty? God says through Jesus you are forgiven. God said, Jesus did what you cannot do. Jesus reached up and he attained these blessings for you. And through his word, he shares them with you. Jesus did something that I can't do for you. Jesus died for your sins to take rid of the curse, right? This unavoidable curse. Jesus died to take it away for you and to take it away for me. And that's where we get somewhere. God says, these are my words. These are my promises to you. Because these are God's words, he has these encouragements to you. Whether you are a grandpa or a grandma, whether you are a mom or dad, whether you have Christian friends, God says, these are my words. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Truth is, there's a lot of ways that a lot of people say to get right with God. There's a lot of ways that different people will say, do you. Make it all about you. But God says, these words are mine. This is the truth. Gather around these words, and God will give you a peace that you can find nowhere else. And God will give you the peace in this life and the life to come because of his unbelievable solution and his promise to you. To God alone be the glory for sharing the truth with us this morning. Amen. Please stand. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine of him, to the only God our Savior, be the glory and the praise in the church and into eternity. Amen. This time we join together to sing a song that God would instill in us the truth of his word and bring us comfort and grow in his word. The song is Create in Me on page 11. This time we worship our God with our offerings. If you are a guest this morning, there's an announcement in the bulletin that you are under no obligation to participate in the offering. Your presence here and the chance to share the word of God with you is a gift from you. We truly appreciate that. We worship our God with our offerings at this time. Please be seated. Please stand for the prayer of the church. O Lord God, our King eternal, we give thanks for the multitude of your mercies which you have so graciously showered upon us. Grant that we may ever be mindful of your magnificent gifts and the vast ocean of your kindness. Above all, we give thanks for the great love which you have given us in Christ Jesus, whom you sent for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins through him, for our deliverance by his power from the dominion of death and the devil, and for the promise of eternal life. We glorify you this day. Please grant, O Lord, that as you first loved us, so may we love you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might. Teach us to walk as obedient children in your holy commandments. And as we wrestle against the powers of spiritual darkness and all temptations, give us the strength we need to win the victory of faith. And so to so enable us, please write your word in our hearts and in our minds. May the sunshine of your love descend upon our homes, and grant that our children may be reared in thankful devotion all their days and walk in your praise. We ask you, O loving Father, for your mercy and grace upon all who face adversity or trial. Be the health of the sick, the joy of the sorrowing, the staff of the aged, the companion of the lonely, and the strength of the weak. And dear Heavenly Father, because you invite us to pray to you, we come to you on behalf of our brothers and sisters in special need this morning. We pray for Debbie Heidemann, who fell last week. We pray that God would ease her pain and bring calm and comfort to her family. We also pray for Greg Bucks' mother. Greg's mother lives in Minot, North Dakota, and her house is in the path of the floodwaters. We pray that God be with Greg's mother and the thousands of people who also live in Minot as they prepare to return to a devastated town and homes. Use this disaster as a time to call people back to you and to keep their hearts and minds looking to the great day when you will return to call all people from this world and take us to a much better place. Please grant Greg's mother and her family peace that can only come through you in this difficult time. Please also be with our coordinating council and our vision coordinator as they begin another year in your service. May they be a blessing to our congregation, your kingdom, and the world as they lead among us. Give them spiritual wisdom and insight to serve you and us very well. We ask that you grant us all these petitions, O Lord, and whatever we may ask in the depths of our own hearts, for the sake of him who died, that we might ever live with you. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. This morning we will close by singing together hymn 379. Please be seated. Thank you.
Good morning again to you all. Thank you for making a part of your Sunday morning in God's house and worship here. A special welcome to our guests this morning. It's fantastic to see a lot of our Vacation Bible School friends and family here. We appreciate the efforts that you made, especially if you had a child singing this morning. It was great to hear them sing the love of Jesus, and thank you for the effort that you made. If you would like to talk about St. Mark's a little bit more, please feel free to get in touch with me after the service or to call the church office or maybe to speak with somebody from St. Mark's that you may have met during Vacation Bible School. We'd love to share a little bit more about our ministries and how we can serve you with the love of Jesus. At the end of the announcements, we have a slideshow that recaps our Vacation Bible School, so please stick around for that. A Bible study was a little confusing this morning. We had three different teachers out of town, so next week we will get back to the normal schedule. We will have the Trinity class meeting in the sanctuary. Pastor Waterstrat's class will be back and meeting in the sanctuary again. He is wrapping up his vacation, and he will be back by the middle of the week, so we praise God for the chance for him to get away, but we look forward to having him back. Also, if you are interested in Tree of Life Bible Camp, but perhaps haven't thought about it because of the cost associated with it, we do have some financial aid available, so if you or somebody you know would definitely take advantage of camp, but maybe can't afford it, please let me know. We have some options available for that. Also, if you plan on celebrating the 4th of July by using fireworks, we do have a fireworks stand that the School Promotion Committee will be operating. There's an announcement in your bulletin, so please take a look at that, or you can talk with James Miller if you would like more information about that. So if you had plans to purchase them anyway, we do have a booth available for that. At this time, then, we will take a look at the slideshow, and it's interesting to hear these kids sing so confidently about their Savior and why they are so happy to know him, and perhaps it's time for all of us to get back to such a childlike faith and to have that same joy and confidence in Jesus.